direct from the golf course and onto your radio. This is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Everybody, this is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Who How you is, doing, Tucson?
He's in the peanut gallery today.
Yes, I am. As always, over here on the other side of the desk from you.
Yeah, you know, I'm on the happy side because I get to stand next to Ryan and watch all the magic happen over on the screen.
Magic,
stuff.
Fred. It's magic.
It is magic.
It's magic. Ryan's pushing a button. Magic.
Pushing those electrons through the wires.
Very good.
So this is Fred Jeff Show. We are here talking about all the great stuff in Tucson, Southern Arizona, the people, the places, the history, the culture, and events that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful.
That's right.
And because there are so many wonderful things to look at, we want to encourage you to go to our website, which is friendjeff.com. And if you go to our website, which we really hope you do, there's a button that says upcoming events. And it's a link to the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau site. So we steal their work and put it on our site. It has a list of all the stuff coming up in Tucson. Now, we like highlighting a lot of stuff as well. Actually, this coming weekend, next weekend, not this weekend that is finishing today, but next weekend is the second Saturday's Downtown Urban Street Fest. Which our friend Michael Keefe is heading up with the Tucson Downtown Alliance. Have a huge party every second Saturday downtown. We have 100 years, 100 quilts going on at the... What is your problem? You're just like...
It's awesome. 100 years, 100 quilts.
Yeah, it's a centennial celebration.
Yes.
Because our lovely state just turned 100 this last month.
That's correct, Fred. You are correct.
On Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And so there's a celebration at the Arizona Historical Society. If you go to the museum, there are 100 quilts in the museum representing 100 years. I don't know if that's, you know, true, if they're antiques or anything, but there's 100 quilts.
Okay.
At the Tucson Botanical Gardens, we have the butterfly magic that continues on through April, I believe. And today, from noon to four, so this show goes till noon. So, you know, get in the car, listen to us while you're driving to Sabino Canyon, and go visit the music in the canyon. And there's, I think, four or five different groups going to be up there playing beautiful music with the backdrop of Sabino Canyon.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Great
gorgeous,
sounds. Gorgeous. Beautiful day. Make sure you take some allergy meds before you go out there.
Oh, yeah, all the wildflowers.
The wind is blowing, yeah, and the wildflowers are in bloom. It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. Now, a couple other
things. I just
got
a picture the other day of the Sutter Trail, a picture of all the wildflowers on the Sutter Trail. We should put that on the website. It was absolutely
gorgeous. Did you take the picture yourself?
I didn't take the picture.
Well, we should just take pictures or put pictures that we take.
I'm going to take a picture of you right now, and we'll put that on the website.
All right.
People go, oh, that's what Fred looks like.
Yeah.
He doesn't really look like how he sounds.
No, not at all. And there are a couple things later this month. The rocket launch, which makes me very happy.
Right.
The Southern Arizona Rocket Association.
Right.
Sarah is going to have a two-day...
The Balsa Wood Brigade, right?
Well, no.
What do you mean,
there's high-tech materials involved in here.
Other than balsa wood and gunpowder?
Well, pretty much that's it.
Plastic?
Things that blow up. I like things that go boom.
So now you're going to get all the engineers in the crowd mad at us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so
March
the Balsa Wood Brigade.
Yeah, March 24th and 25th is the Desert Heat. It's a two-day event out at the Sarah launch site. And
where's the Sarah launch site?
It's up in Marana. It's like it's off of Reservation Road. I just can't remember the numbers.
So we'll have that information on the website,
too.
Oh,
we'll absolutely have it linked on the website. If you go to fredandjeff.com, you'll find this information out.
Right.
So I shouldn't give it now because we want people to go to the Fred and Jeff website,
right,
which is fredandjeff.com.
And where you can listen to past podcasts of our show.
Is it?
Is that correct grammar?
I was going to say...
Past shows that are podcasted on the website.
That are made available.
Made available, okay.
I don't know if it's, technically it's not a podcast.
So is that like a trademark infringement on someone?
I don't know.
So listen to old shows on the website.
Yeah, listen to the old shows.
All right, there you go.
Because we own the shows, but we don't own the word podcast.
You know, apparently Dave Sitton didn't own the term cancer fighters either. So we can't get in trouble with that. So, but you know what? I just to interrupt well, you. Well, go ahead.
One last thing.
Yes. You say one last thing, but then it's like 10 things.
No, it's because you keep on interrupting me. That's why it's.
You know what? I was quiet during the whole thing until the quilt fest, and then I had to interrupt.
Okay, well.
Because people are driving off the road right now, snoring in their car with all that silliness. Just kidding, Fred. Go ahead.
So, well, this is for you and your children. Your children's. Oh. The Christian Youth Theater is producing what, Jeff?
just kidding. Alice in Wonderland Jr.
That's right.
Fabulous. Fabulous. So go and see all the kids.
Yeah, and that's actually the middle of the month, the 15th through the 18th, and I think they're going to be doing that somewhere at Pima Community College on the, I think that's the East Campus they're doing that or the West?
The West Campus.
West Campus. They're producing it over there.
Yes. So is it my turn now to speak, older brother?
Yes, feel free.
Okay. I would just like to say how great it's been to be on this show the last 3 weeks, because we have been talking about some unbelievable things.
Man.
We had the soccer guys come in from Football Club Tucson, and the soccer has been unbelievable. We went out to Keno, formerly TEP, and watched David Beckham kick the ball around. Amazing. I think the golf tournament couldn't have been any better than it was. The Accenture folks must have had a ball out there, because I know just about every Tucsonan that I spoke to had a great time at the golf tournament, and being able to be inside the ropes on the Sunday final match was just a great time. The rodeo was sold out every day. So you look at soccer, golf, rodeo. I mean, we've been having...
Yeah, the parade,
phenomenal.
Obviously.
The parade was a huge success. I understand it was probably one of the best attended parades we've had in recent history. So things going on in Tucson right now are just off the chart, and it's not over, because our guests today are going to talk about an event that's coming up that's going to make them all, you know, put to shame for the literary folks.
For the literary folks.
You know, so we've had enough sports. Let's talk about some reading.
Well, you can read about sports.
Ugh, Fred. So anyhow, thanks for listening to the Fred and Jeff Show. Please support our sponsors, because we without them we wouldn't be here chatting with you. And so if you like the show, please support them. And we're going to take a quick break. What?
Well, you have to pay attention to this whole show, because at the end of the show,
right,
our friends at Mayfield Florist,
right,
Don and Greg and the whole family,
right,
give us a dozen roses to give away.
Right.
So at some point in the show, we'll ask a trivia question based on things we've talked about. Now, it could be the Sarah rocket launch.
Is Sarah, by the way?
Southern Arizona Rocket Association. Rocketry Association.
Okay, very good. So keep your ears open.
There are other Sarahs
and your eyes
as well.
On the road. Or, you know, you're at home listening to us on the internet or on your radio at home. Stick around, because we've got a great show, a lot of fun people to talk to today. Talking about more great things that are happening here in the old Pueblo. So we'll be right back.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Major League Soccer is coming to Keno Stadium February 22nd through March the 3rd. New England Revolution, Real Salt Lake, the New York Red Bulls, and Los Angeles Galaxy meet to play in the FC Tucson Thistler Diamond Cup. All 4 dates in this tournament are doubleheaders featuring stars like Kyle Beckerman, Tyree Joseph, Landon Donovan, Thierry Henry, and David Beckham. Mark your calendars. It all starts Wednesday, February 22nd. Tickets are now on sale online at fctucson.com or call 520-334.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
3 convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony's Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Hi, I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon.
You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
More of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
The Peanut Gallery. I think I'm just going to stick with that.
Rolling.
Because this is
keep
the Fred Show
going
with Jeff on the side.
Okay, the Fred Show with his brother Jeff.
Remember,
the Arizona Daily Star. Love those guys. And ex-politician Fred Ronstadt has a new radio show with his brother Jeff.
Like, what? Did they even mention your name in the thing?
Maybe with his brother or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on, you're like Laurel to my Hardy. You're Abbott to my Costello.
That's right.
You're Fred to Jeff. I mean, there's no Fred and Jeff without Jeff.
Well, it's funny, we bring up the Arizona Daily Star because... I believe they're still the big sponsor of this big event. I may be wrong, but the Arizona Daily Star, our friend John Humanek and all the kids over there are supporting or sponsoring the Tucson Festival of Books. And with us today is one of the brainchildren of that event, Bill Viner, and one of the authors, an illustrator writes children's books, Adam Rex. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Yeah,
well,
thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
So tell us, Bill, tell us a little bit about the history of the festival. I mean, you know, you were on the show before a long time ago, and we have a new audience, and we really want to, you know, give people a sense of the history of this thing, because, you know, you walk into it today, and you're like, wow, this is phenomenal. But, you know, everything has a day one.
I think the idea germinated probably maybe 6 or 7 years ago. A couple of us went over to Los Angeles. Friends had always urged us to go see the LA Times Festival of Books, which is an incredible book festival. And we visited a couple times and we said, you know, this would work in Tucson. So we put a group together and formed a committee, went to, as you said, John Humanek at the Arizona Daily Star, brought on the University of Arizona because we needed a large place to house this event. And got a presenting sponsor with University Medical Center, who's now the University of Arizona Medical Center, and really went forward. We're in our fourth year. Last year, we attracted about 100,000 people.
It's crazy. We took the kids out. My wife, Tana, and I took the kids out, and it is just unbelievable the volume of people that are out there. How did you arrive at 100,000? How would you possibly know? Because there's no ticket taking. It's free to the public.
No, Adam and I actually counted most of the people that showed up to that event.
Like one of those little clicky things.
Yeah.
Like at Disneyland.
Yeah. We sat on the curb.
We're going to have to not be able to let you in now.
Count a lot of
the fire marshal gets mad.
No, actually, the university helps us estimate that based on how many people come to football games, how quickly the lots fill up, how the cars change over. We also take a large photo from a large...
Satellite?
No, well, it's not a satellite exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, the reason I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but it is a spread-out event. I mean, you could spend the whole time there and not possibly see everything.
You could. I mean, actually, it's impossible. This year, there's over 450 authors. That
wow.
means there's more than 300 presentations that are going on. So a human being can only see 5 presentations a day. So you really got to pick and choose what you want to do. And luckily, the Arizona Daily Star comes out the Sunday before with a insert in the newspaper. So you get a chance in advance to take a look at what's going on, kind of highlight we always recommend people highlight 3 or 4 things in every segment. So you can do that and then give yourself a break to eat, give yourself a break to see the exhibitors. And in between author presentations, you might want to meet some of the authors and get books signed. But it really is a true festival in every sense of the word.
So
it's not only just about authors. There's lots of entertainment.
Oh, goodness,
going
yeah.
on.
You are,
lots
the,
of different stuff.
Is
the
little carnival, the little...
The Lindley Lopez Literary Circus.
Yes.
Is back.
Are they coming back?
They are.
Fabulous.
It's a circus, and it's a nice circus. I mean, a high wire act. contortionists, jugglers, and they do it to literary themes, which really ties into the festival itself.
It was great. And just by way of comparison, you guys use the LA Book Festival as a kind of a, as a test, you know, as a model. How many authors will go to the LA Book Festival?
Actually, I think we have more authors than they do.
That's amazing.
Well, we're one of the largest in the country now, are we not? I've been, I mean, in my capacity of just getting sent around by publishers and so forth, I feel like I've been to 10 or 12 different festivals around the country, and we definitely have one of the best now. I'm really, really proud of it. I've definitely been to some great big cities, and they, you know, they have nothing on our festival now, and I'm just really hoping that one day, you know, people all across the country, when they think of Tucson, they will think, no, you know, not only of the Gem and Mineral Show and our relaxed gun laws, but also of our of our literary festival. And I think we're getting there.
Well, how did it happen? I mean, how did you take this idea and bring it to Tucson 3 years ago or 4 years ago? This will be the fourth event. And how has it gotten to be so popular so quick?
You know, Adam's right. It's the fourth largest literary festival in the country. And, you know, we think there was a pent-up demand for this. You know, we're a well-educated city in some respects. And I think that people were just, I don't know if it was that the economy was down and people were looking for something to do, because the festival's free. There's no expense to get in and see any of the authors, take part in the exhibitors. And plus the parking's free, too. And I think a lot of people have really never been on the University of Arizona campus to experience an educational or a literary type event. Most people come for either to Centennial Hall or to an athletic event. So I think it gave them a chance to browse on a great March afternoon day at the festival. And I think that was part of it.
It's fantastic. I mean, it really is. For any of you folks out there that have not been to this festival, it is absolutely a must-do, regardless of your age. My wife and I have little kids, and we go out there, and they have a ball. And that kind of takes us to you, Adam. I mean, you're a children's book author and illustrator.
Yeah, that's right.
And how long have you been doing that?
I've been illustrating for a long time, but I guess I've been published as a kids' book author and illustrator since like 2003.
And are you from Tucson?
I went to school here in the 90s. I grew up in Phoenix, actually, but I went to school. I saw the error of my ways, and I moved down here in the 90s and went to school at the U of A and got my BFA here. And then my wife and I, we moved away for a little while, but we came back here a few years back and bought a house, and we're here to stay. So
for you guys.
So I'm going to do everything I can do to help keep this festival going. So far, that's just been, you know, taking part in panels, because so far I've had a new book come out every year, and I've had, you know, something to kind of exhibit, but I'm hoping that even if I don't, they'll have me be a moderator or you know, let me help organize or, you know, do whatever I can.
Well, you know, you bring up another good point, and you've got tons of authors, and a minute ago you were saying to try to check off or identify three or four authors that you'd like to meet and listen to, because there are over 300 of them. Give us an idea of who some of the authors that you guys are real excited about that are coming this year.
You know, Adam is actually one of, he's on a terrific panel this year with Mac Barnett and John Sheska. It's called Three Funny Guys or something like
Something like that. I love it when they always put funny right there in the title.
puts a lot of pressure on you.
Got to bring our bicycle horns and our squirting flowers.
And the propeller helmets and, yeah.
But John Sheska is he was the first national ambassador of children's literature, which is essentially like the poet laureate position of children's literature. So he's about as big as they come in kids' books. So people might know him from The Stinky Cheese Man is probably one of his best-known kids' books with Lane Smith.
But this year, you know, we have a huge variety of authors. We have Pulitzer Prize winner Richard Russo, who's a U of A alumni that's coming back.
Great.
We have Larry McMurtry and his writing partner Diana Osana, and they're actually getting the Founders Award on Friday night from the festival for, you know, their entire... representing their entire literary career. We also have Luis Sharia, who will be the keynote speaker on Friday night. We have Lisa C., Charles Todd, Mary Doria Russell, J.A. Jantz, of course, Iris Johansson, Elmore Leonard, Kim Edwards, T.C. Boyle, Steve Barry, John Sanford. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
I'm really hoping I get to see T.C. Boyle. I never really get to see anybody because I, you know, they keep
you're surrounded
busy,
by fans, but, probably.
Well, I don't know if I'm surrounded by fans, but I'm programmed to, you know, to be doing this and that during the festival, but I'm hoping I can sneak away and go see him.
So Friday night, now, Bill, you brought up Friday night. What's going on Friday night?
Well, Friday night's what we call the author's table dinner, and it's an opportunity to kind of celebrate the authors. It's held on campus. There's a reception in the bookstore, and it's a sold-out event this year. There'll be over 900 people there.
Wow.
We seat an author at every table, and there's a keynote, which I mentioned Luis Uria will give the keynote this year, and we'll also deliver the Founders Award to McMurtry and Osana. So it's a way to kick off the festival, and it's been an exciting event, and I think most people that go there really enjoy themselves. It's different. It's very different.
Well, my wife and I went last year, and Frank DeFore was the keynote speaker. And a lot of folks are thinking, wow, sports writer is a keynote speaker. But, I mean, he's a published author, has done wonderful, wonderful stuff, and he was a great speaker. So this should be a great event.
Yeah, we loved having him. So hopefully this will be just as good.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be.
Now, you said the dinner is a sold-out event. That's the only thing that has a ticket price to it, right?
Yes, everything else is free. And so it's kind of a fundraiser. And it's also a way to thank the sponsors that have donated to the festival because they usually get seats or a table at that event.
Well, that's kind of the lead-in for you to say thank you.
Absolutely.
Who are some of those guys?
You know, the big ones, and you mentioned those before, the University of Arizona, we couldn't do it without them. It's on their campus. And they really have people that are hands-on on this. Chris Kopak, who's head of their facilities management, runs the operations end of the festival. The Arizona Daily Star, John Umanik, is a founder and actually sits on the steering committee.
I got to tell you, you'd be, other than the fact that he's a Cincinnati Reds fan, you'd be hard-pressed to find a bad thing to say about John Umanik. He is just a solid, great guy.
Yeah, he's been a huge boost to the festival, as well as Frank Farias at the University of Arizona Bookstore, who is now a vice president. He's been tremendous in their support, and it's not just those people individually. It's a lot of their staff and a tremendous amount of hours going in. Plus, there's 1,500 volunteers that give their time to make this festival work.
And how do it must the die must be cast for this year? You're not looking for more volunteers for this year, are you?
We are. We actually have about 200 slots to fill this year.
Really?
And so, if you're interested, go to the website www.TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org. And you can register for a variety of different volunteer jobs.
Great. That's great. So the University of Arizona, the Arizona Daily Star, those are your two big hitters. Anybody else you want to say thanks
to? Sure. Thanks to the University of Arizona Medical Center and Diamond Children's Center. They've been with us since the onset, and they're the presenting sponsors and really give us the ability to go out and do different things every year.
They are phenomenal people. Speaking from a guy that spent most of the new year in the Diamond Children's Center, those folks are absolutely treasures of Tucson, Arizona, no question. So thanks for thanking them.
Yeah, and all the other sponsors, too. There's just a whole long list of sponsors. Bruce Beach is in charge of sponsors for the committee, and he's done a fabulous job.
Well, give us the website one more time. It's
www.TucsonFestivalOfBooks.org.
Okay, and folks, remember, the Sunday before, there will be a big insert in the Star that will talk about all of...
And that's today.
That's right. That's today. Today. So
grab that
in
paper.
Today's newspaper, grab the paper, because there's a big insert that talks about all of the events, all of the folks that are going to be at the Festival of Books. If they don't get the paper, can they get that online? Will that be online?
They can. Actually, there's apps also for the festival.
Oh, you're
kidding. Have an iPhone or an iPad or a Droid, you can call up the entire festival and look through the schedule, find out what's going on. All the exhibitors, the bios of all the authors are on there. And this year, just one other thing real quick, is the Kinetic King from America's Got Talent is going to be here 11:15 each day in Bear Down Gym. He puts together these incredible kinetic
gadgets.
Oh, I
don't mean to jump.
Tony Dowder, says President Obama a few hours ago to the most powerful pro-Israel lobby in Washington.
I do not have a policy of containment. I have a policy to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
president detailed actions he says shows the unshakable U.S. commitment to Israel's security, but urged Israel to give sanctions more time, saying they're crippling Iran and saying there's too much loose talk about war driving up oil prices. Endorsing Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney hours ago, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor corrected downward the total deaths from Friday's tornadoes to 37. Emergency officials are trudging with search dogs past knocked-down cell phone towers and ruined homes looking for survivors in rural Kentucky and Indiana. According to exit polls cited by Russia's government-run TV, Vladimir Putin has won Russia's presidential election, the second go-round for him in that role. Putin's supporters celebrated this concert being held in Moscow. Chuck Sievertson.
I'm meteorologist Eric Brackett with you on this Sunday. Lots of sunshine across the area and a high-pressure system that's going to give us some wonderful temperatures. Looking for 81 this afternoon here in southern Arizona for tonight, down to 50. That's a pretty mild overnight low, but it gets even warmer for your Monday. 84 degrees in the afternoon. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. It's no wonder why the Tucson Festival of Books relies on Arizona Party Rental. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
Hi, this is Andy Brown, Vice President of A-Team Security and Event Services. I've been in the special event business now for 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental. They have the largest selection of equipment, friendliest staff, and they really care about making your event special.
My name is Rebecca Guthrie, and I would highly recommend Arizona Party Rental to anyone who needs anything that has to do with parties or events. They are very friendly and make you feel like family, and that your event is just as important to them as it is to you.
Hey, thanks. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Make Arizona Party Rental your celebration destination. Visit our new showroom on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that will exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ross, and I'm here with my little brother Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we were talking some fun science before the break. We got cut off with the news.
We were so excited about the Festival of Books that we let the break sneak right up to us. Yeah. So,
and with us today, Adam Rex, author, and Bill Viner, genius.
You know what?
You're the only one that'll ever call me genius.
Well, Fred usually calls people icons.
So I went to my thesaurus, but genius is not the same as icon.
So, Bill, tell us. Now, you're the founder.
This is going to become an iconic thing for Tucson.
I think it already has. And you're one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
But he can use that word, and I can't.
Well, he's talking about the event, not himself.
Well, okay.
Exactly. I'm not talking about myself.
Right. Sure. So, you're as one of the founders of this, you were just telling us a story, you know, when we were waiting for the news to finish, about a gentleman on America's Got Talent. And why don't you tell our listeners your story?
Well, this year on America's Got Talent, one of the semi-finalists was a fellow named the Kinetic King. I think his real name is Tim Fort. But he explodes kinetic gadgets. He used tongue depressors, cups. And this year, we, in conjunction with what we call Science City, he's going to be at the book festival in Bear Down Gym at 11:15 on Saturday and Sunday. It takes him 8 hours to set up one of these gadgets.
Wow.
And about 2 minutes to explode it. But it's just this kinetic folly of images that come right before your eyes. Very, very fun. I think everybody will get a kind of a thrill and a big laugh out of it. And it ties into Science City. This year, we've kind of expanded Science City. I mean, it's huge this year. There's 10 tented pavilions. And it's 10 tented pavilions.
That's crazy.
And we've moved east of Cherry, about halfway to Campbell. And most all of that is in connection with Science City. There'll be science of engineering, science of space and light. There'll be biodiversity. There'll be the science of food, brain and body connection, and on and on. And it's for people of all ages, and especially for people like me, the common man. It's, and people that don't know much about science, it's really an opportunity to become more literate with science and educate yourself and your children as well.
Is that in concert with the U of A College of Science?
It is. It's the Helios Education Foundation is our overall sponsor of Science City, but we could not have done it without Bio5 and the College of Science.
Yeah, Joaquin Ruiz.
Yeah, Joaquin's going to be on the show in the next few weeks, and we love having him on. We like Jeff said earlier, we love science on the show. We love blowing stuff up. We love all the stuff that the U of A is doing and people in our community are doing. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the aging seminars that they've been having down there.
Yeah, beyond 100.
Beyond 100. Amazing stuff that is happening in our backyard that is leading edge in the world. And here it is in little Tucson, Arizona. So the fact that you guys have embraced that and are going to have it on display is fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge display. And we really are Science City when you think about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
No question. No question whatsoever.
It's great. So
no, well, during the break, I downloaded the app on my iPad.
Way to go. Way to go.
It is totally cool, but I'm going through the list of authors. J.K. Rowling.
Did you hear how Fred went, woohoo? That's what the Kinetic King does.
Maybe Fred could be the Kinetic Jester.
Are you related?
Let's see. J.K. Rowling's not on the list.
I don't think she leaves the house much.
Oh, Fred.
Well, you know, I was actually just cruising through
here. Fred, is J.R.R. Tolkien on there?
He's dead.
Oh, okay, Fred. So, you know, there you go.
We thought about bringing him back, though.
We're going to have, like, a college student in one of those big costumes with, like, the huge felt heads. That's decorated to look like J.R.R. Tolkien.
Nice.
That's sweet.
Nice.
Amador the Explorer. Yeah.
And then Jeff could be Gollum. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Gollum. Yeah, Fred. Okay, so back to the show.
The point I was making, I was going through this list of authors, and people, you need to download this app because it is totally cool. But how many local authors are there? I mean, obviously, Adam lives in Tucson.
Good question, Fred.
I know on the kids' side, we got Chris Gall. He's an author and illustrator of picture books. We have Jenny Lee Simner. She writes YA novels for teens and adults.
Jillian Cantor. Writes children and young adults, and actually came out with just her first adult fiction book. Jennifer Lee Carroll, Laura Fitzgerald, Susan Cummins Miller. You know, more than you would think.
It is
a large number of local authors.
We have a pretty good community here. I know my friend Jennifer J. Stewart. I don't think she's on any panels this year because she didn't have a book coming out, but she's moderating one of my panels, so she's keeping her hand in.
Well, Graham Brown, Larry McMurtry, Diana Ossana.
It's amazing that the number
of Leonard still lives. Does he?
I know he has family here, right?
His son lives here, Chris. He's a son Meunier, I think, at one of the restaurants.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And so that's a big reason why Elmore has been such a tremendous supporter. And this year, Elmore's oldest son, Peter's coming. He's got a new book out called Voices of the Dead, and I just read it. It's really a quick and a very, very good read.
Oh, that's great. There's a nice little literary tip right here on the Fred and Jeff Show. Didn't think you'd get that today, did you? So
talking about the Festival of Books? No, never. Never would have thought that.
So Adam, I want to ask you some questions about your career because,
sure.
as we've just talked about, we have a very large community here in Tucson of published authors. And you're on the New York Times bestseller list, right?
Oh, I was once for two non-consecutive weeks, like back in 2005 or something like that.
And
so
what work
I will
was
take that to my grave. But,
yeah,
but
it's nice to be able to say, and New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, even if it never happens again, I will have that in my obituary. But that was for a picture book that I wrote and illustrated called Frankenstein Makes a Sandwich, which was a collection of stories about, you know, monsters and their problems. And, you know, it included poems such as Dracula Doesn't Know He's Been Walking Around All Night with Spinach in His Teeth.
Nice.
The titular poem, Frankenstein Makes a Sandwich, which was all about him realizing he didn't have any food and trying to borrow it from his neighbors. But each time he tried, they would just chase him off with torches and pitchforks and so forth. So it was all kind of a monsters or people too sort of a thing.
So how did you become an author? I mean, when did you know in your life that this was your vocation, this was your calling?
It was kind of late. I mean, I started out as an illustrator, and I knew at a very young age that I wanted to be an artist of some kind. And I say a young age, I knew I was actually five when it happened. I have an older brother. And so when he was eight and I was five, I overheard him complaining to our mom that it wasn't fair that I was only 5 years old and I was already better than him at drawing. So I thought, well, okay, that's it. You know,
like, that's got to be my thing. Yeah.
I wasn't better. I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. I wasn't better, you know, than my older brother at anything. But so if he thought I was a better artist than he, then, you know, I was going to do that for the rest of my life, if only to aggravate him. So,
awesome.
I decided at a young age,
like a true younger brother.
Yes, yeah. Our role is to aggravate the older brothers.
So I didn't know I was going to be an illustrator until later, but you know, I started my career doing that. I actually started my career doing a lot of like fantasy stuff for Dungeons and Dragons and that kind of thing. But I really wanted to do kids' books, so I got into that as an illustrator and sort of snuck in the back door as an author later on after I. You know, I kept on, you know, bugging my editors to give my writing a chance as well.
So what was the first major work that you illustrated?
It was a book called The Dirty Cowboy, which was written by Amy Timberlake, came out back in 2003, and that's still in print. Story about a cowboy who only takes one bath a year, and it was a weird first book to work on because the main character loses his clothes about a third of the way through the book and never gets them back.
And this is a kid's book?
This is a kid's book. So I had to...
There are a lot of well-placed cactus, right?
Yeah, yeah. I had to put cactus in the way or, like, low-flying quail or, you know, just whatever I could get into the frame. And
is Amy Justin's sister?
No, she gets that a lot, but no relation, I'm told. But.
Well, I specifically, I want to talk about the Brixton brothers.
Yeah.
Because the Brixton brothers series, and I don't know, were there three or four? How many are there?
Out now. The fourth is written, and I've illustrated the cover, but it's still forthcoming.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in that? Because that kind of reminds me of when Fred and I were growing up, like the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I try to entice my 7-year-old to read the Hardy Boys, and he wants nothing to do with it. But he loves these books.
Well, so the Brixton Brothers mysteries are written by Mac Barnett, and they're just hilarious mysteries. I actually didn't read the Hardy Boys when I was growing up, but I feel like I could still understand all the tropes and the style of the Hardy Boys from these books. They're about a kid named Steve Brixton who is kind of obsessed with a Hardy Boys style series, and when he sort of has the detective game thrust upon him unwittingly, he thinks that maybe he can be a detective by taking all the lessons that he learned from these Hardy Boys style mysteries and applying them to the real world, and he finds out more often than not that really, you know, these kind of quaint lessons from these sort of, you know, 1950s books really don't translate at all to real life. But they're just these hysterical mysteries, and I've been very lucky to be the illustrator on them. And to reiterate, Mac Barnett is also going to be at the festival, so he and I will be on a panel together with John Sheska. So We'll probably be talking about those as well as other things that we work on.
Oh, that's great. Well, listen, folks, we have to take one last quick break, and then we're going to come back with the last part of the Fred and Jeff Show, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, fivestartermite.com.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger. Cooked to your choice.
Why Monkey Burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway in Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
And we are here today with the two gentlemen who are very instrumental in putting on the Tucson Festival of Books.
Bill Viner and Adam Rex.
And we were just talking to Adam about the Brixton Brothers series that he's an illustrator on. But I wanted to take that a step further and talk about the short story that you did called Will.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Will, because it's a great little short story for a kid, you know, dad to read to his kid, and it's not what you expect.
Yeah, I'm really glad you like this one. It was from a collection called Guys Read Humor. John Cheska is the editor on these, and he's building this whole Guys Read library that'll be full of short stories that will appeal to guys, you know, boys who maybe don't think necessarily that the people are writing stuff for them. And this was a whole humor collection. Mine was my contribution was this story called Will, about a boy who, well, he goes to a school. I guess the basic premise was that you know, there's all of these middle grade novels, the Harry Potters and the Percy Jackson books, where the kid finds out that he's special. He's the son of a Greek god, or he's actually a boy wizard.
Well,
or,
and you've got a son of a Greek god in the story.
I have a son of a Norse god
and
in mind. Yeah.
He goes, hey, can you help us out? He goes, well, I don't have my hammer.
Yeah, he doesn't have his hammer with him, so he can't do anything. I thought, you know, what if all of these kids that found out that they were special in some way, what if they were all at the same school and they kept on finding out that, oh, well, actually, I guess I have to leave. Got to go to this wizarding school, you know, upstate now, or, you know, I got to leave. I'm off to, you know, the Greek demigod summer camp. And, you know, this kid is left. There's just like four kids left in his class. There's only like seven kids left in the entire seventh grade. And he's one of the few kids left that just there's nothing special about him. He gets up every morning and like tests himself. He pricks himself with a needle. He concentrates his telekinetic powers and his telepathic powers. Nothing, you know.
Nothing.
And he keeps waiting for something to kick in, but nothing ever kicks in. And And during the course of the story, his school is attacked by a supervillain who just happens to be looking for one of his classmates who, up until that morning, Will thought was normal like him. But it turns out, of course, you know, she's secretly a superhero as well. So it turns out that you know, Will... I like to think that the reader keeps thinking that during the course of the story, you know, his superpowers are going to kick in, but really he's just a natural born leader, I think, and he's smart and
which is enough.
He manages to be more capable than even his superpowered classmates, yeah. Just because he's just got it together.
It's a great message. I mean, it was a great message, and especially for us, you know, right now my little guy wants to know who he's more like. Is he more like Green Lantern or Superman? You know, and to read him a story about this kid who's just a kid, and he ends up saving the day. I think that's a great story. Good for you.
Yeah, I think Larry's more like Captain Underpants.
Okay, Fred. Tra-la-la to you, Fred. So, that's right. Do you have more of these kind of stories coming out? Are you... You have a new book coming out you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I have one that just came out that I'm really excited about. The first of a new trilogy, the Cold Cereal Saga. The first book is called Cold Cereal, and it's a middle grade novel about an evil breakfast cereal company that is secretly run by a queen of the fairies. And one of the premises of the book is that all of the sort of cereal mascots that you might be familiar with, your Lucky the Leprechaun or the Trix Rabbit or Snap, Crackle, and Pop, these are all based on real folktale creatures, leprechauns and pukas and pixies that are being held captive by this cereal company and having the magic drained out of them, and the magic is being put into the cereals and fed to children unwittingly, and you know, all with the future plan of like feeding this magic to children to raise an army of sugar zombies in order to
how timely, right?
To foment an invasion that is forthcoming, and so I, you know, I have my kid heroes, and they're trying to stop this dastardly plot and so forth. It all ties into our Arthurian legend, and it's really my kitchen sink book. It's almost easier to explain what isn't in this trilogy than what is.
And how long did it take you to put this together? Because I'm looking at the book on Amazon and you know, through the Kindle store, and it's a 432 page book.
Yeah, well, I hope that won't discourage any of the kids out there. It's got like a good 70 pages worth of pictures in it. You know, as an illustrator, I love illustrating my own books, so it has some fake commercials in it. It has like four or five fake commercials that are just in, you know, storyboard comics form. You know, it has maybe 60 illustrations in it.
That's great.
It took a good time to put, a good long time to put together, but some of these threads that I sort of wove together for the story I've been writing for, you know, 10 years.
And is this something you'd rather do? Would you rather write and illustrate, or where do you find your greatest joy?
I gotta say, lately, the writing has been the most exciting. I think it's harder. It's more of maybe because I've been an illustrator for longer. I don't want to ever say the illustration is easy, but every time I pick up my paintbrush or my, you know, digital tablet, I sort of have more confidence that I'm going to get out the other end with something that looks pretty competent. Where with writing, it's more of a high wire act, and I'm always afraid anytime I sit down to my computer to write, I'm going to plummet to my death, and that makes it more exciting. But it makes it feel more rewarding when I actually pull something off.
Well, let me pick your brain about process then, because obviously this is the series, the saga is a trilogy.
Yeah,
I mean, how detailed is the outline of the whole story? How detailed did you get before you started writing the first book?
Well, not detailed enough, honestly, because you know, I wrote the first book and I was pretty pleased with it, and I got about halfway into the second book, and it was about at that point when I realized I had no idea what I was doing.
That's where the high wire comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I had this pretty good idea about where everything was going, and that's when like the fear really, really took hold of me that I was going to get done with the second book and maybe halfway into the third and realized at that point that I really had needed to insert something into the second book that I no longer could do, because maybe at that point it was already out in the world and you know, I didn't have that opportunity anymore. So that's when I really sat down. I made a spreadsheet, you know, with all the different characters and what they were doing at which point in the story, and I finally mapped things out, because that is not my my default setting. I'm not an outliner. Normally I'm just a plow through and figure things out as I go along and then go back and fix my mistakes kind of a writer, and I don't usually outline anything at all.
Do you have a mentor for this kind of stuff, or how did you learn to formulate the thoughts to create such great stories?
I think I have, a couple hundred mentors. It's just all the reading I've done. It's going to sound a little trite, I know, but...
No, it's not. I mean,
I never really had a teacher, per se. I took one creative writing class at the U of A, and I learned a tremendous amount in that creative writing class, and I'm not sure I'd be doing this now if I hadn't taken that. But otherwise, I just read constantly, and I think that one creative writing class... it reprogrammed my brain to start reading more critically, so I started noticing why I thought good stuff was good and less than good stuff was less than. And I think that's what really started shaping me into somebody who might actually write a 400.
Well, then answer that question. Book. Why do you think good stuff is good?
Oh, well, I think it's... the old congressional thing, you know it when you see it, kind of. I don't know if I can answer that question entirely, but I think it's, if I could bottle that, I don't know if I'd even be writing. I would probably just be touring the country, teaching seminars and late night infomercials. But
well, last question.
Be your own author.
There you go, because we have a couple minutes left. But last question.
We have to get some roses away, too.
We do. But I want to know, on your panel discussion, so you're going to have the funny panel discussion.
Yeah, hopefully.
Tell us what happens in a panel discussion.
Because hysterical.
The vast majority of our folks, our listeners, have never been to a panel discussion. What happens?
Yeah, well, it depends on the format. Some of the ones I'm going to be doing, I think we're going to be maybe presenting slides of our work and maybe showing some of our process. I'm going to be on an illustrators panel where I think we're going to show... I like to show slides of, like, the sketches that I do in preliminary work for my illustrations, the little sculptures that I do to help me with my drawings. And then we're going to sit down with some moderated questions from the moderator and then take questions from the audience.
So you're not like an Alex Ross guy where you get your friends to pose, take their picture.
Oh, no, I do that, sure.
You do that.
Yeah, it's just sometimes I can only do that so much. Sometimes I have a character that's just so far away from reality.
You could probably use Fred.
Yeah, well, maybe I could use Fred. That's true. But sometimes I got to just sit down and maybe sculpt myself a little goblin or something because I don't have any friends that I want to insult with the suggestion that maybe that they could be a stand-in for said goblin.
All right, so folks, last thing to do today is to give away some roses from our friends at Mayfield Forest.
That's right. Now, we've been talking about the Tucson Festival of Books, and it is the biggest...
Fourth.
See, I didn't even have to give it away. Ah. That's the answer.
Oh, sorry.
Adam Rex. Thank you, Adam Rex.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize what we were doing.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay.
Do I get flowers now?
Well, maybe, but usually I'm the one that gives it away because Fred comes out with some incredibly hard question.
No, I just thought Fred actually hadn't done his homework and was was grasping for the answer, hoping somebody would fill it in for
that's
him.
I love it. So welcome to the Jeff and the Other Guy show.
So the first person to email me at fred@fredandjeff.com with the answer of where does the Tucson Festival of Books rank in the hierarchy of book festivals
and across the country. It's in the top four, right, Fred?
It's in the top four.
Right.
You get a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield.
So, gentlemen, especially you, Mr. Viner, thank you so much for bringing this event to Tucson. This has become, in such a short period of time, one of the gems of our community. And Adam, thanks a bunch for everything you do.
No,
you guys
you
take care
me.
And we'll see you
You're
at
welcome.
The festival.
You're welcome.